Thank you, and congratulations, KWCF. Give yourselves a hand. 50 years. You all don't look that old. I know not many perhaps have been here since the beginning, but after the first service, I was talking to a few people, and some had, well, one young lady, this was her first day here. Another lady had been here just a couple of months. So we're all looking at this celebration of an anniversary of 50 years from different angles and different directions. Where I intersect on this was I was 15 years old when this building was taking place. I had just come to know the Lord as my Savior like a few months before. I come from a family where we never went to church. In fact, one of the family jokes, which there was many, one of the family jokes was my dad shouldn't have been a preacher because nobody used the name of the Lord as much as my dad did. So imagine my father, when my older brother, who was married and moved away, he was a salesman at the time, and imagine my father when my brother returns home and tells my mom and dad that he has come to know the Lord. Well, at first my dad thought it was a joke and he was waiting for the punchline, but they could see in the tears of my brother's face that this was serious. And it wasn't long after that, my parents came to know the Lord. My sister came to know the Lord. The whole family come to know Jesus. I was actually the last one in the family to know the Lord. So here's a guy, never been to church, like maybe once, but essentially never been to church. Didn't know anything about anything, and some may question that nothing has changed over 50 years, but So here we come to this church that Pastor Ken referenced, and so that's where my life just started to change. I don't know who told me this. I don't know how it actually happened, but now the beauty of reflecting back on the past, I reflect on those days when I was just a kid and being in church, and people had songbooks, and I just decided, hey, you know what, I should collect the songbooks. So I made that my job, and I started to collect songbooks. And so I just started to get involved. And when there was a meeting, I went to the meeting. When they had work days, I just went to the work days. I did know that the coffee time was going to be great, but I didn't know anything. But I came to these work days. I wasn't much used to anybody, but I had a blast. I got to know people. They got to know me. So what I'm saying is this. No matter where you are on your journey, if this is first day for you, as we say at our church often, whether this is your first day or you've been coming for decades, we all need an encounter with Jesus. Yes. I have come to see that my encounters with Jesus have very often been through people. I really appreciate when I get downloaded directly from the Lord. That's amazing. Can't replace that. But God wants to use people. It's like we need more avenues in our life for Jesus to be able to touch our hearts. How do you get more avenues? How do you get more ways for Jesus to touch you? You open up your life more to people. You get to know people. Serving in the church, like, okay, this is online. Don't tell anybody in my church, okay? Just between us. Do you know why I'm the senior pastor? I collect songbooks. That's where it started. I don't know who told me to do that. Well, no one told you to do that, but this whole idea about going to where the church is gathering, going to where the people are, like serving when opportunities are available. Just throw yourself in. Throw yourself in. I wasn't any use to anybody in terms of working and building, but I was there. So here's the thing. I look back on that and I think, man, I didn't even know what I was doing, but God used that. And my encouragement to everybody, throw yourself into the life of the church. Don't be just a spectator. Be involved and be a participant. Well, I have memories of being here and during some of those work days. John Zivku, who you all know, he was here first service. We were both teenagers. I think he was a year. He says he was a year younger. I don't believe it at all. I think he's older. However, we'll leave that to be decided by someone else. But we were both teenagers, and he would come over in our youth group, and we'd go to the youth group he was participating in. So in some ways, our churches have been running along parallel tracks and intertwined at different times. So First Services Pastor Ken referenced the founder of our church, Hank Kreidenberg. He prayed with me to receive the Lord as my Savior. And believe me, folks, I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what was ahead of me. 11 years later, I became his son-in-law. Married his oldest daughter, had to work 7 years, of course. You know the story, right? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. So we better just leave it right there. It goes south. When you read the story, it goes south really quickly. I boast in telling people I think I have the best marriage of anybody I know, which is amazing. And I tell Carrie often, I said, man, I'm so blessed to have you. Your parents did a great job rearing you. And I mean, no joke attached to that. That's fabulous. But this is what happened. Here's a teenager. Here's a kid, a young man who didn't know anything. And now I'm part of a church where there's godly men, women too, godly men. I couldn't help but benefit from that. Even if I didn't want to benefit, if I hung around them, it's like osmosis. It's this thing that takes place. I was where the men were. And, you know, especially my father-in-law, I got to see how... See, you need people. You don't have to call them leaders, whatever. You need people to follow. See, I remember years later, okay, long story, it's going to be confusing, but let me just paint the picture. So I got saved when I was 15. I went to a university for 5 years. I became a teacher. I started a Christian school at our church. So along that way, just to talk about learning and character development and hanging around godly men and women, so... I remember one day I had to go into petty cash to get something. And so here's a note in petty cash. And it's signed by my father-in-law. And he said, found a loony on the parking lot. And he put it in petty cash. Well, I know what I do if I found a loony in the parking lot. I get a pocket right here. So you know what? Like, he never told me that. I read it because of the business I had to do. I should also mention that in all of the years, I was principal, he was pastor, right? So his office is right by mine. I can honestly tell you, in all of those years that we worked together, and I'd come to in his office and he wasn't there, in all of those years, I never read anything on his desk because it wasn't my business. My job was to make him successful. Yes. Now, I didn't do a very good job of it, but that was my heart. My heart was always to serve, right? And so when I found that little slip, I don't know if you've even told him the story. When I found this little slip that he found a dollar in the parking lot, and it was God's church, so he put it in the petty cash. I just did something to me. So, you know, I don't know when it was. It was in the last 5 years. I don't know exactly when. I find a $5 bill on the parking lot. Like, I can hardly stop myself from jumping up and down. Yay, Jesus, I get to do it too. And I just went over and I put it in petty cash. Found it on the parking lot. What I'm trying to say is this. Oh, you know what happens in church? The most important things that happen in church don't necessarily happen in the service. God wants to provide more avenues for you so that he can have access to your heart. And those other avenues, see, he can just download what he wants to download. And that's amazing, and I hope we all experience that. But he so often will use another person to do that because then we benefit from this relationship. And so a small group announcement this morning. Yeah, whatever church is doing, I just want to encourage you to throw yourself in because God wants to use family. And whoever that young couple was that we're singing this morning, that song is true. Family of God. Oh, my. Okay, so I've been around now for a long time, right? 50 years. And I've been in church, lots of people, done lots of things, involved all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems. I don't know whether it's been 15 or 20 years, but at least 15 years, Pastor Ken has been my personal pastor. He's your pastor too, but he's my personal pastor, whatever that means. But so we've met together pretty well every 2 weeks for 15, 20 years. And so he knows all of my stuff. So my father-in-law was pastor, coach. Pastor Ken is my pastor now as I pastor people. And there's something so transformative about being relationships with people where you will disclose and open your heart and mind so that God can bless. And that's, church is about that. Well, with all that's gone on in 50 years in my church, and I'm not sure what's happened in yours, but we've had crises and we've had stuff happen. I remember, I was just thinking about it this morning, that there was a time when I called up Pastor Ken. He was actually out west. I don't know if you remember that day, Pastor Ken. Crisis, boom, developed. Just called Pastor Ken and getting wisdom from other people. That's what church is. That's what relationships are meant to be. See, when we talk about, you know, 50th anniversary or birthday, whatever it happens to be, and we look back, we ask questions like, well, you know, back in 1972, what was different then than it is now? Well, everything. Somebody talked about dressing up. Brother and sister, you need a prize. I'm just saying that. Like, I thought to myself, I am not dressing up. I don't have any wide ties. My wife threw all those pieces of clothing in the garbage. I'm not going to part my hair in the middle anymore. I'm happy I have hair. We'll just stop there. I'm not doing any of that. What's the same? Well, what's different, right? Price of gas. What's the same now? Well, only Jesus. Everything else has changed. But there are other questions to ask. What about this one? The question is, how has God used the events of the past to prepare you for where you are right now? See, we know that Scripture says, Romans 8:28-29, all things work together for good to those that love God, those who are called according to His purpose. Now, there's two things that that are inferred. Firstly, all things don't work for good for everyone. And it doesn't say that all things are good. Secondly, it's for those who love God. So if you love God, God will use it for your good. But it doesn't say things are good that has happened to you. You may be here today and have had something happen in your past that has scarred your soul, that has left you broken. And perhaps to some degree, many of us can identify with that. Those things aren't good. Some of those things are terrible, but I don't know how he does it, but Jesus is able to take those very things and now use them for our good. So here we are at a 50th anniversary, and we're looking back over the past. We're celebrating what God has done in this church. And whether you were a part of the church at that point in time or you're just kind of new, here's what God also wants to do. He wants all of us to reflect on our past. And he wants us to take from the past and to go back. If we go to Romans 8:28, oh, okay, so all things work for good. He'll use the bad stuff. The next verse says, for whom he foreknew. That means before you were born. As my dad used to say, before you were a twinkle in your father's eye, before you came on the scene, God knew you. I'll read Psalm 139. Oh, my goodness. While I was being knit together in my mother's womb, God knew all of my days. Okay, I can't understand all of that. All that I know is God has had a plan for you before you entered this world. Yes. And we've veered from his plan plenty. I have. For those he foreknew, he also predestined that they would be conformed to the image of his son. So everything in my life, even before I came to know Jesus, at the tender age of 50, everything in my life, he wanted to have all of that work together so that eventually my life would be a better reflection of the life of Jesus echoing through me. So that means there's stuff in your past and stuff in mine, the things that have been scarring us and holding us, maybe an anchor to our progress in the past. God wants us, by the Holy Spirit's illumination, to revisit that. Jesus, what in the world do you want to do with that to help me better know Jesus, love Jesus, walk with Jesus? And he will do that, but we need to be healed. In this time of celebration, in this time of reflection, God wants us to get healthy from the past, celebrate what we celebrate, but there's other things we don't want to visit. Years ago, there was a song, Curtis Chapman, I think, sang it, and it's something about life is like a house. And I gave my life to Jesus. So it's like I invited Jesus into the house. And I let him in, you know, to the foyer there and said, Jesus, let me show you around my house, my life. And Jesus said, yeah, but there's a closed door right over there. That's where we need to go. Oh, no, Jesus. No, that's a locked door. I don't go in there. The song is so touching. If I remember correctly, it says, with tears in his eyes, Jesus opens his hand and says, I need the key to that door, and we need to go in there so that you can be set free. Okay, this is what I've learned. There's a fear of disclosure. I don't want to let people in to see my stuff. The fear of disclosure tells me, If people knew the way I really was, if they knew the way I really was, they wouldn't love me anymore. And what we find as believers in Jesus is when you open your heart and overcome the fear of disclosure to some trusted person God has brought into your life, you will find that the very expression of your fear and trepidation and opening your heart, the grace of God floods through you, into you, from that person. And you experience Jesus through people. It's amazing. That's what church is. We're a little bit like mountain climbers. See, we've got this task ahead of us, and we're climbing, and it's hard, and it's arduous. It's always better when people are with you. And so you're climbing together, and as you climb, you reach a point where it's a plateau, it's a natural plateau. It's time to rest, recuperate, energize, refuel, all those great things, and prepare for the next step up. All right, that's what celebration is. That's what this month is, or 5 weeks is all about. You know, we got all this journey, and now it's time to just stop and rest for a while and enjoy, celebrate. And from this position, from this new vantage point, from this vista, you can see things that you couldn't see before. See, there's a benefit, as John and Elaine said in their video, they have lived the history. When you've done that, and you've all lived your own history, right? So when we celebrate what God has done, all of us, we celebrate the past, how good Jesus was. And from our vantage point, because we've gone through what we've gone through, we can see what other people can't see. We know what other people can't know unless they've gone through the same thing. We're like mountain climbers. But if we stay too long, we become campers. And I like camping as much as anybody else. But the goal of a camper and the goal of a mountain climber are different. There's a time of just resting and enjoying life, and I'm not going to do anything. My pack is off, my feet are up, I'm in the chair. But for us as mountain climbers, somebody's saying, I'm a camper. in the Lord, we're mountain climbers. For us as mountain climbers, this is a season to refresh and to prepare for the next leg of the journey. Part of that's healing. Part of that is reflection. Here's a couple of thoughts as we reflect on what the future holds for us. while we are in this time and we're looking back and we want to be healed of the cuts, the scrapes, the hurts. I've had my share. You've had yours. I've been in a position where I thought I have been burned. I've been burned by church. I can tell you stories. I've been around for a while. Things have happened that shouldn't have happened. My goodness, I've probably done things I shouldn't have done. People could tell you their stories too. But you know what? I love the church.
Yes.
I'm not going to miss Sunday morning, well, except for today. But I honestly, I love church. People come to my church, they say, oh, I don't like your church. And I'm thinking, what is the matter with you? I love church. I love the people. Folks, there are people that have offended me dearly. And here, I'm on this side of it. I'll tell you a story. I won't get into any details. I was offended by something, just the church, and it just threw me off track. For 2 weeks, I was just, oh, man, it was bothering me and bothering me and bothering me. Finally, I said, Lord, I just can't go on like this. This is holding me back. I'm off track. And I just have to forgive and give it to Jesus and go on. And just, boom, just like that, everything changed. It was a financial thing that went on. And just let me say that within 2 weeks, someone gave me a check as a gift for $10,000. And it was because I surrendered my harbored bitterness. Long, long, long story. I just want to say, you know, sometimes we get hurt, and now what God started to do in the past, because in the past he was doing things, and like, for, I'll speak about me. So I get hurt, I get offended. Well, goodness, sometimes I'm just downright lazy. I know that's hard to believe when it happens. And so all these stuff, and so what God wanted to do got short-circuited. And maybe I'm still carrying offense. And I could give you lots of stories of being offended, and you've got your stories. And as I look back, maybe I'm carrying those things. Maybe I still have them. And here I've taken off my pack mountain climbing, and it's a time of rest and reflection, but I have another journey ahead of me that I'm going to be climbing up soon, and I want to be whole and healthy, and I want to take care of the nicks and the scrapes and the cuts and the bruises emotionally from the past so that I will be healthy to prepare for the future. I want to be fresh, and as the scripture says about Jesus in the Old Testament, prophetically speaking, he has the dew, the agent of days. He has the dew of youth. You want to stay young? Make sure your heart is free from offense. I've determined I will be unoffendable. Oh, I'll trip up a little bit, but I know what the pathway is. I know what it means to forgive. Forgiveness isn't just saying, I forgive you. Forgiveness is acknowledging how that person, they've actually taken something from me, in my estimation. They've taken something from me. Maybe they took my pride because they hurt me, they offended me, they made fun of me, and they humiliated me. And so they took my dignity, they stole it, they took it. For some here, unfortunately, some people have taken your innocence, scarred your life. They robbed you of things. The devil's a robber, stealer. And so people have taken things. Recently, a girl who had been a wonderful girl who had terrible things happen in her life. She asked me if I would participate in an intervention. She wanted to meet with a family member. She wanted me to be there. She had this script that she wanted to read to the family member so the family member could understand how badly that she's hurt her. And I said, what do you expect is going to happen? What is it you want? You want your family member to give you what they took from you. Not only can't they won't. They, in your estimation, they robbed you of something. Forgiveness is now turning away from the person and turning to Jesus. Say, Jesus, and be very, very specific and clear. My pride, my dignity, my innocence, money, what would it, these things were taken from me, Jesus, and only you can give them back. Yes. Forgiveness, saying, Lord, I forgive this person, these people, and whatever is taken away, I'm not expecting them to ever give it to me. I'm expecting you to give it to me. I have never, honestly, I've never seen any one person respond to a word about forgiveness like this young lady. She went to a family function. She said, I wasn't stressed before, I wasn't stressed during, I wasn't stressed later. She got a call from an uncle who congratulated her. I don't know how you went to that thing, but you went. That is amazing. And let me also tell you, I've just recently given my life to Jesus. Like, God is working in this girl's family and in her own heart. And God wants to do that for all of us. As we climb the next mountain, he wants us to climb healed. As an illustration, to close, here's a wire cable. It has got four copper wires inside of it. There's a plastic sheath, obviously, on the outside. Each of the individual copper cables has another plastic sheath around it. If I wanted to use this to conduct power, electricity, I have to tear back the sheath on the outside and on each individually, right? I have to then connect it to the terminal, connect it to power. Only when the sheath is pulled back will the power flow. This is you. This is me. I've been offended by people. I've been hurt. I could tell my stories. You could tell yours. And when that happens, like somebody says something to me and they offend me, for example. Just pretend. Not that that could ever happen. Someone just bugs you and they say something and it's offensive and it's rude. And now it hurts. And I'm not going to let that happen again. So I'm actually going to avoid that person. When I see them, I'm just going to walk around. No one knows, right? They're on that side. I'll just walk around. No one will ever know. Except me and Jesus. It can happen a million ways and a million different times. And what I've done really to protect myself, I put the plastic sheath around the copper wire. So many things we do. I've become an expert. You're an expert too. Coping mechanisms, relationship techniques. And we hide, we put up this wall, this covering on our hearts so that we won't be offended. You don't even have to consciously think about this. This is natural, fallen nature. It happens. If you've never thought about it, it's happened to you. You just haven't thought about it. I'll never be offended again. That's right, you won't. At least not the same way. But to have the power flow, you got to pull back the plastic. You have to remove the barrier. And that, brothers and sisters, is what faith is. Faith is putting yourself in a vulnerable situation where you know you may fail. You're taking a risk and it may not work. You're being vulnerable and open to someone and they may take advantage of you again. Now, you need wisdom and discernment. I'm not saying be vulnerable to everyone. Let's just talk about God. I know someone who was praying for their wife, a loved one in my family, and believing God for her miraculous healing that was needed, praying, fasting, just seeking the Lord, believing, speaking positively, and she died. And I remember being with him, and the feelings, God, you failed me. You failed. I trusted you and you didn't come through. See, God can offend us from our own perspective, right? Like, life is like that. I'm not going to pray like that again. Maybe you've had a whole series of unanswered prayers and you think, well, I'm just not going to do that anymore. Sure. Put the plastic back on. But if you want the power to flow, you have to remove the plastic. And put yourself in a spot where you're vulnerable. Can't do that unless you're healed from it. But see, the journey ahead of us is a journey where we want the power of Jesus to flow through us unrestricted. And that's going to mean us deciding to deal with those offenses, decide to deal with the forgiveness issues, to open up our heart and say, Lord, I'm risking being hurt again. And I'll tell you what happens, because I've lived it. And it's not just me, like probably tons of you too, but I'm talking, so I'll have to give you my story. When you are unoffendable, when you've dealt with your past, when you determine that as the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind, we're going to become vulnerable and open and risk being hurt. Oh, all the plastic's off. The copper is ready for the terminal. The power is always ready for you. Say, God, how come you never work through my life? Well, maybe it's too much plastic in the way. God wants to move, and he's so loving. He's so great. During this time when we're on this celebration plateau, let it be a time of giving glory to Jesus for his goodness. Let it also be a time where you're opening up your heart so he can heal anything that's still a wound, something that might still be in the way as you make the next summit. And let's be open for Jesus so that he can, unrestricted, move through. It's no longer I that live. Galatians 2:21, right? 2021. It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in this body of flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, right? So Christ in us is the hope of glory. His Holy Spirit, as we yield to him, will flow through us. But we have to make sure the plastic's off. Thank you. God bless you.